viewpoints expressed on The Edge are not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors.
It's time for The Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Lai. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally here in Indiana, 359-5593. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally at 359-5593. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
Tell you what, let's go to our newsmaker line. Hello, you're on The Edge Radio broadcast.
Hello, Daniel.
Yeah, this is Daniel here.
Hey, this is Tex Mars.
Hey, Tex Mars. Hey, good to have you. My wife and I were in here, we were just gabbing along, and all of a sudden we saw you on the line. I said, whoa. You should be over here.
Listen, I'm listening. This is sort of an interesting program going on now, but flow riding all these things. Maybe I just should listen in on this program.
Well, yeah, and then, well, what it is, Tex, is that's one of the bases. About 3 years ago, my wife and I, we found fluoride was a fraud and a chemical and dangerous at that. And I think it's
been a little longer than 3 years.
The fruition of it came to the program. You know, just that we found that was a fraud, and then we thought, well, how many other things do we know that are not true? And Tex, I think in your ministry and your research, you find a lot of things that people may have assumed have been true but are not.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, I've just dedicated my life now to the truth. That's all I want is the truth. And history has been so smeared, and we've been lied to and deceived so much. If we could get a clear view of history, for example, Daniel, you and Jeannie are talking about fluoride. Here is a chemical that's killing many people. But when this first came out in the Revelations, way, way back in the early 60s, I remember, there's a guy who wrote a book called Rules for Radicals named Saul Alinsky. In fact, Hillary Clinton said that this book impressed her more than virtually any other book, because she wanted to be a radical, you know, a liberal radical, socialist back in college. Alinsky, one of his rules was to destroy our opposition. We've got to make fun of them, mock them, use ridicule and scorn. And so what they do, and they did this with fluoride, for example, you'll remember the movie Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Wearing and Love the Bomb with Peter Sellers.
Yeah.
Here was a comedy, and the character who was just a absolute crazed guy who brought nuclear catastrophe on the entire world was some nutty general who believed his sex drive had been ruined because of fluoride, and so he was out to destroy the world because the commies had it was a commie plot to use fluoride to destroy Americans' sex drive. So see, they made fun of this, and anybody that would believe that fluoride was a problem, well, you must believe you like this nutty general did in the movie Dr. Strange. You must be a silly person. And so this is what they do to you, so that when you bring up an objection, whether you say, wait, 9/11 didn't happen like that, Pearl Harbor, there are some other facts here, World War One, the sinking of the Lusitania, maybe nothing in history is the same. They go, oh, sure, little green men are visiting your house tonight from a spaceship, aren't they? You must be one of those crazies. You know, you're a real whack job. So this is the way they, but it's all of it is planned. Now, you know, if we were dishonest people, we could do the same thing to them. You see, because the history that they give us really is far out. I mean, it really is little green men, you know, come to feed us pudding from Mars tonight. I mean, the actual history that they tell us is so insane that nobody should believe it. It's just that it's been pumped into people's head over and over and over. So this is and by the way, we would not think of trying to smear them the way they try to smear us. So we just tell the truth, and unfortunately, they use these psychological brainwashing tactics that do work. But yeah, history is like that. And the history of Israel and the Jews and the world is like that too. So, you know, we really need to distinguish fact from fiction. Mm-hmm. When you do, then you have to agree with Henry Ford, you know, the great industrialist and the guy who gave us the assembly line and really the first cars for the common man, when he said simply, history is bunk. He knew this too. And he knew that the writing of history is by those who have the money, who mm-hmm. have the power, who are in charge. And this has always been the case, except that now that it's so well recognized as a powerful tool, we see 1984 lies over and over and over. But the masses do fall for them. It's certainly true.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Tex, when George Bush was saying, and let us not tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories, who was he talking to or about?
Well, he was, you know, he was talking about people like you and me and others in the truth movement. Of course, it can be extended for him to say, you know, see, they'd like to make up the lie that these conspiracy theories are spread by anti-Americans, unpatriotic, pro-Muslim people that want to see America defeated, mm-hmm. that really want to insult the victims of 9/11 and their families. You know, mm-hmm. that's all we want to do. We just want to insult those people. Mm-hmm. Of course, none of that's true.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we must be in bed with the Muslims, you know, who hate the Jews and they want to spread these lies.
So it's like
here again, they twist things so much, you know, they're consummate liars and twisters and deceivers. They really are.
So it's like an ulterior motive that someone has out there. It kind of feels like that. It feels like there's a, the way I see it, it's almost like there's a big board game going on with these two powers. And, you know, it's almost like they're just using us as pawns in their own little scheme, you know, that everything that we see, sometimes I think everything that we see is just an illusion of this ulterior motive, this battle that's, you know, that's bigger than we can even imagine. That, and like you said, you know, if we say anything about it, oh, we're kooks, we're loonies, you know, we have no credit, we believe, you know, that there's something more going on to this whole thing. And mm-hmm. and if we say anything about it, of course, we're wrote off, or we, you know, we have no integrity, or, you know, we're...
What do you think about that, Tex? You think we're all just pawns, and there are forces at work that really are battling each other, and we do their bidding according to their rules?
Well, I think the majority are pawns. There's no doubt about that, because the majority believe all these lies. But you lovely folks are not pawns, because here you're questioning it. You're saying, wait, this doesn't add up. Remember this. And this is very important. I believe the book 1984 by George Orwell is a tremendous book. It is powerful way beyond the number of pages. I mean, I've written, thousands and thousands of pages of books, nearly 50 books, I guess, now. I've lost count. But that one book by Orwell was very important. Remember this. When he said... You know, he asked him, I think the guy's name is O'Brien, his torturer, his interrogator, which sort of makes us think about the interrogators today. Ask him, how many fingers am I holding up, Winston? And the guy being tortured, no matter what he said, you know, he got electric shock. You know, if he held up two fingers and Winston said two, Winston got a shock. No matter what Winston said, the guy shocked him. And he asked Winston, how much is 2 plus 2? He said 4. Winston got a shock. He said, wrong answer.
Wow.
Well, so then finally he said, you're going to have to learn, Winston, that 2 plus 2 is whatever we say it is. We can say it's five. Mm-hmm. We can say it's three. We can say it's four. Mm-hmm. But 2 plus 2 is not four. It's what we say it is.
Yeah.
You see? And so the masses, and Winston thought about this. If somehow he could make 2 and 2 equal 4, Big Brother and his whole apparatus would fall. Somehow he latched onto that. If he could just make 2 and 2 equal 4. Well, he couldn't, you see, because the whole world believed that 2 and 2 equals 5. Well, it didn't, but it didn't matter because they were led to believe they were crazy and they had to be cured if they believed it was 4. So this is what we're into. Let's just take an example of this, how this works.
All right.
Rosie O'Donnell, I've never been a fan of Rosie O'Donnell, but, you know, she has told a few things lately that are true. She said this. Now, both of you know that the American Medical Association has its AMA journal, and we have our New England Journal of Medicine. Those are the two most prestigious medical journals in America. And doctors believe those, you know, like we believe salt, you know, savors food. In Britain, they have the Lancet Medical Journal. And it is from the British Medical Association. It is the top medical journal in Britain. It's respected in the United States and throughout the world as one of the top 2 or 3 medical journals in the universe.
All right.
Now, they went to Iraq, sent a team to Iraq, did a study, and found that 657,000 Iraqi citizens had been killed by American forces since the start of the war, right?
Right.
657,000. Now, this pales in comparison, and I'm not for any of the deaths, with our 3,000 the World Trade Center towers, which the Iraqis did not perpetrate. And it pales in terms of our almost 3,000 military troops that have been killed over in Iraq. 657,000, according to this formal study. Now, they went to mortuaries, hospitals, studied all of the statistics. This is what they came up with from Iraq.
All right.
Now, Rosie says this on The View, right? She's on The View on ABC in the morning, and she says, we've already killed 655,000 Iraqis. She's off a couple thousand, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that night, I watched Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. He said, can you believe this nutty woman? Where does she get this figure? Mm-hmm. She made it up out of thin air, he says. Mm-hmm. And then he has two supposed experts on Talking Heads. And both of them say, oh, she's so horrible. Barbara Walters ought to get rid of her right away. She just makes up stories. She lies. We have not killed 655. In fact, we haven't killed anywhere near that. We haven't killed anybody, Joe Scarborough says. All we've killed over there are terrorists and Al-Qaeda. We haven't been killing the people. Oh, he said there might have been a few collateral damage people, but not many at all. He said, this is outrageous of Rosie. Where does she get this? She makes it up. Now, excuse me for a moment. I am going to suggest to you that Joe Scarborough reads a lot. He's no dummy. He may not be as smart as maybe you and I if he hadn't read that, but I suspect to you, because it was in different journals, it was on, you know, this figure. They didn't make a big deal of it. It was maybe page 27 of the New York Times. But those statistics are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So why did Joe Scarborough say this? Why did the two guests come on? At least Scarborough, if he was an honest newsman, would have said, well, Rosie got this from the Lancet Medical Study. But we don't think that's reliable, and here's why. Of course he couldn't say that, because it is reliable. Rosie, unfortunately, she was on a roll, and she didn't mention Lancet Medical Study. But that's what she was referring mm-hmm. to.
Yeah.
But you see, this is the way that they made her look like some kind of a raging idiot mm-hmm. that American troops would kill. But wait just a minute. You know, I was in the Air Force for 20 years. You know, and you know, I wasn't a pilot, but all my friends were. And so, you know, we were talking one day, and I asked some of my pilot friends, we were over at the Officers Club. That's back in the days before I came to know Christ. I drank. And I said, hey, Warren, how many Vietnamese do you think you killed? He You know, the guy had about 100-something missions over North Vietnam during the Vietnamese War. He said, hell, Texas, I can't even count them all. I mean, how would I know? I don't even see them. I said, I mean, you know, how many bombs did you drop? I mean, how many average people do you think you kill per bomb? He said, well, I don't know. He said, I wouldn't doubt if I probably killed, I don't know, 50,000 people just by me alone. He said, but we'll never know because I never had to see them. Mm-hmm. I'm up there in the sky, I drop my bomb, and I leave.
Mm-hmm.
You hit his bomb load, see?
Yeah.
So this thing, he said, I may have killed 50,000 people. And he may have. It may have been 25 or 100,000. This is what we've done. Remember that shock and awe?
Yeah.
There were these gigantic explosions on TV. And Americans must have thought there was nobody home. It was on the other side of Baghdad from our newsmen. Maybe nobody was home. And Scarborough says, we've killed people? Astonishing. That can't be true. Well, we're Americans. We don't kill people. But, of course, there are neighborhoods around the shock and awe, all the facilities we hit.
Yeah.
You know, there were human beings, little babies and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I realize sometimes war is necessary. This is not certainly a case of that. But this is where we get into the absolutely crazy. Here's another one, Ron Paul. Ron Paul basically quotes the 9/11 Commission report on that presidential debate the other night.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, we've been bombing over there for 10 years in that part of the world. They wanted to get revenge. That's why they came over and did 9/11. Now, Giuliani, then they let him speak next. And I think all this was planned. What does he say?
He said he's a nutcase.
Yeah, he said, you're a nutcase. I've never heard of such a thing.
Right.
Where did you get that? Well, that's just made up. I don't even know. That's ridiculous. Now, I think the average, and this dumbed-down, cattle-like audience clapped. Of course, they were all, you know, given their passes to get in by who? Fox News Network.
Uh-huh.
Owned by Rupert Murdoch, a neocon Zionist nut himself, to be honest with you. So all of them were all primed.
Mm-hmm.
And Rudy Giuliani, afterwards, all the press said this could have made him the candidate. That little exchange alone, when he put down Ron Paul. But of course we've been bombing 10 years. George Herbert Walker Bush bombed them, Iraq. Bill Clinton bombed them several times. Look what George W. has done, carried on into our cities, Fallujah and all of them. Bomb back to the cave age. And Ron Paul makes this observation, basically. If you stick your fingers in somebody's eyes for 10 years, they might just get torqued off at you and want to retaliate. And Rudy Giuliani says, what? That's ridiculous. Nobody's mad at us because we bombed them for 10 years. Where did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look. I don't know where you guys live, in a beautiful city of Greenfield.
Indiana, no place.
I've always heard that's a beautiful area.
Yeah.
But if y'all went through 10 years of bombing by Russia or China or somebody, I suspect you would want to get revenge. What Ron Paul said made absolute good sense. What Giuliani said was absolutely insane. So people would vote for an insane man who evidently has never read the 9/11 Commission report,
right.
Who doesn't care about the truth. Obviously, that's what the press are telling us. Mm-hmm. We want a crazy rather than a sane, deliberate, methodical thinker like Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with this picture,
well,
you see?
Well, Tex, let me tell you, I find myself in some strange paradox, too, a couple of weeks ago, and specifically with Rosie O'Donnell, when she was on The View, and she said that Building 7 didn't come down by fire. And, again, she was roundly labeled a kook on that, and I thought, you know what? I don't care if it is Rosie O'Donnell. If she's speaking the truth, it's the truth.
It was the truth, yeah. And this is, you know, this new book that we published, The Synagogue of Satan,
mm-hmm.
that my company has published. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock is the author, of course, from Great Britain. And it's true. And he's got hundreds and hundreds of references in there showing how Zionist Jews have manipulated world history, taken over the world's Western media, how they control the banks, how they control our economic destiny. even how they polluted Christianity with false teachings. Mm-hmm. All of these things are true. They're documented. But the other side, they're desperate for people not to read this book. Mm-hmm. Absolutely desperate. And by the way, I was on a talk show not too long ago, and the host, I guess he had me on, he thought it was an interesting topic, but he was frightened to death. You know, Daniel, he wasn't like you guys that have the courage to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And he said, where did you get that term, the synagogue of Satan? That's a horrible term. That isn't that anti-Semitic to even talk about the synagogue of Satan? And I asked the fellow, I said, well, Jack, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I said, well, if Jesus used that term, what would you say about him? He said, oh, well, Jesus would never use that term. I said, do you think it might be in the Bible somewhere? He said, oh, no, no, no. And I thought, well, here again, we have the illiterate mm-hmm. acting like they're, you know, like they're sane, mm-hmm. like they're okay.
Wait,
and I said, well, I wish you had a Bible. Do you have one in your studio? He said, no. I said, well, you ought to read it sometime. Revelation 2, verse 9. Revelation 3, verse 9. That's the first evil force that the Apostle John talks about. John had this vision from God, and he gave the whole book of Revelation how the last days of man on earth would come out. And what does he, first he starts off the book of Revelation introducing himself as the Apostle of Christ, and then he says, I had this vision. And Jesus comes to him and says, write this down. And he writes down, it's a letter to the seven churches. And what does Jesus say in this letter? He says something. He says he addresses exactly the synagogue of Satan. He says that those who say they are Jews and are not, they are the synagogue of Satan. They're blasphemers. They're murderers.
Whoa.
Beware of them. He says their evil will bring an hour of great temptation upon the whole world. The whole world will see disaster and calamity because of the works of the synagogue of Satan. And then he finally makes a proclamation. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He says, behold, someday I will make them which are of the synagogue of Satan come down and bow at your feet. He's talking to the churches. And they will know that I have loved you. Wow. So the synagogue of Satan brings world disaster. I mean, horrors on the world. And the book of Revelation says that those of the synagogue of Satan will even cast many Christians into prison and kill many others unjustly. But at the end, they will be forced to bow down and worship at the feet of the saints of God. Now, when I told this gentleman that on the radio, he said, are you trying to tell me that's in the Bible? I said, I just read you the verses. He says, well, somehow I know you're twisting the Bible. Well, I said I didn't interpret it. I didn't mm-hmm. give you my interpretation. I read it exactly. He says, well, what version is that?
Oh, there you go.
You know, what version? And I told him, well, although there are many bad versions, this is almost in every version. You can't escape it. Go to the NIV, go to the NAS. It's there, friend.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, it's something I've never heard preached in church, and I've been going to church for 40 years.
Well, there you go, and uh-huh. that's exactly what I was going to say. We missed that teaching in church. I think the church is missing that teaching, and I think that they're picking and choosing what they're going to be tickling the congregation's ears with this week. You know,
yes, they really do.
Yeah.
They really do, and this is the great danger. And the reason why is because, you know, if you pay for somebody, whether it's evolution or what, and you get this teaching started, pretty soon everybody will believe it. Of course, evolution now is, you know, even now has proven to be totally stupid and insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. There are millions who believe in it. Even the Pope of Rome declared it's a scientific fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's not true at all. And I say that not as a Christian, but as just a sane man.
Mm-hmm.
DNA evidence has now shown. And so now they've had to alter the theory of evolution. Now they're talking about things like punctuated equilibria, and maybe evolution was going on, but then suddenly there was this escalated, you know, like over 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Suddenly men popped up.
Yeah. Hey, Tex, I've had a long-standing question on this program concerning evolution. Everyone has seen in public schools the evolutionary chart of the little monkey to an erect ape man to a human man. But what is the man supposed to be before the monkey? What is he before that he gets on the chart? Is he a fish or what is he?
Well, they would probably say, you know, that he came out of the slime, or he came out of the ocean.
Well, no, he'd have to be something on the evolutionary scale. I mean, just prior to a monkey, he'd have to be something else, and then before that.
I see what you mean.
I'm just saying,
right before the monkey.
Yeah, what was he? I mean, he had to be, like, was he a pig or a, you know, giraffe? I don't know. I've never seen.
Well, you know, they don't know either, and so, you know, they've got a real problem there, and now, of course, with new findings in DNA, they've got a tremendous problem. They find that everybody on Earth can be traced back to one woman, they claim, which I thought was sort of interesting. And the scientist who finally came up with that theory, didn't he say that he gave the woman a name, Lucy? Which I don't know if meant follow it for Lucifer or what. But
he
says, so these things, and by the way, here's something that has happened that is hidden away. That is an astonishing thing. Many evangelical Christians teach and have taught for many years now, especially since the Scofield Bible, paid for by Zionists, was published and became distributed by a Zionist-owned press. But they have taught that the Jews deserve all the land in Israel, and the Palestinians should be kicked off their land, and it should be given to the Jews, because God gave them the land forever. He gave the descendants of Abraham the land. Now, of course, they leave off some verses, because you'll recall that Abraham had, you know, two sons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of them, we are told, went out and became the Arab nation, and the other the Jewish nation. That's at least what we're told.
Yeah.
There's no real proof of that in history, but we're told that that's the nation they came up. So, if he had the bond woman, the slave woman, had gave him a son, and so did his wife Sarah. So the question is, if his descendants are supposed to have the land, which ones? You know, is it the Arabs or the Jews? But let's forget about that little tussle for just a moment, and let's just go to DNA evidence. Let's say it's true. Let's say that the descendants of Abraham, the ancient Israelites, deserve the land. And let's say that after all these thousands of years, it's that land title is still clear, that the Jews of today come and possess the land. Now suddenly we have Watson and Crick, who came up in the late 60s with DNA. And now, of course, they've created a genome of the entire human body, how the DNA chain works. Now they're able to get DNA tests and get criminals. They're setting up DNA databanks across the world. Guess what? We now know that the grand majority of Jews, somewhere at least around 80% of the Jews, those who call themselves Jews, do not come from Israelite stock. How do we know that? Because they have actually taken DNA, and I guess it's a little grotesque, from cadavers and such from ancient Israel, right?
Yeah.
And they compare it, that DNA, to the DNA of today's Jews. They found out that the Ashkenazi Jews, that's mainly all the European and Russian Jews, and they're the ones, you know, that are in the majority in Israel today. In fact, they're the majority of Israel, of Jews in the world today. There's the Sephardic branch, but the Ashkenazis are the vast majority. Of 18.5 million Jews in the world, about 16 million of them are Ashkenazi Jews. Now, it comes out that they do not come, although some of them have some blood strains from ancient Israel, the majority of the blood flowing through the veins of these people who say they're Jews, and we're talking about Ariel Sharon, Benjamin Netanyahu, all of them, they are not ancient Israelite. Okay? Now we got a problem. How do we find the Jews that are really Jews and give them the land? Well, guess what? A number of Arabs said, you know what? We have more Israelite blood in our veins. And they went down and they took DNA tests, and yes, it's true. Now, here's something that should be on page one. The editor of the number one daily newspaper in the Palestinian area, okay, in Palestine. He's an Arab, right?
Yeah.
He's a Muslim. He has taken a DNA test. And he says, I come from ancient Israelite. I have Abraham's blood flowing through my veins. It's traced back. He has challenged the editor of the number one daily Israel newspaper, the Harit, to a DNA test, a challenge. Let us see who is more of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You or me? The Israeli editor said, absolutely not. This is silly. This is dumb. I will not do this. What if Yasser Arafat, what if the people in Palestine today, the Hamas people, what if they're actually the real Jews? Now we get to the book of Revelation. Ah, the Bible says, them which say they are Jews, but are not, and are the synagogue of Satan.
Wow.
Now we come to people like Dr. Arthur Kessler, who wrote a book called The 13th Tribe. He says that many of the people of Khazaria and elsewhere in Europe converted to Judaism way back in the 700s and 800s. They converted to Judaism, although they were of Turkish and Mongolian stock. They bought into Judaism hook, line, and sinker. Their king, King Bulan, forced all the people to become Jews. Now, they mixed in their paganism. That's the Kabbalism. That's the Talmudism from Babylon. They mixed that in with it. Now, later, these people migrated on up into Poland, into Russia, into Eastern and then into Western Europe. Those are the Ashkenazi Jews. And guess what? They did marry into the Jews, so some of them have some Jewish blood, the Cohens and a few others. But most of them, for the most part, do not have much real Jewish blood in them. Now, this is an astonishing thing that the Palestinians, who have lived for 2,000 years or more in that area of Palestine and Israel, that they may be the real Jews in terms of blood. What are we going to do now? I suggest that all of the Arabs and all of the Palestinians and the Jews, the people that say they're Jews, all take DNA tests. And then let's kick out all the people that are not really Jews, but just are claiming to be Jews. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to tell you that I think the Ariel Sharons and the others, maybe in all honesty, they think they're Jews. They say they're Jews, but they're not. What's going to happen then? If we believe, which I do not believe, the Bible says God by blood is going to give this land to the Jews, let's find out, you know, will the real Jews please stand up?
Yeah.
We now have a scientific method we can do it. Why did the editor of the Israeli newspaper refuse this test? I know why. He probably already has had the test.
Yeah. He's hiding something. Yeah.
He's hiding something. These are some of the things that Mr. Hitchcock from England discusses in his book, The Synagogue of Satan. Now, by the way, I have talked to a number of Christian friends that, you know, believe in the malarkey of the Jewish superiority, Jewish racial supremacy. And when I give them this new DNA evidence, their eyes, they just say, oh, well, God knows who the real Jews are. I said, indeed, he does. And it might be Yasser Arafat and the Hamas.
Yeah.
Not be the Lebanese people. They say, well, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. Let's change the subject.
Yeah.
Of course they want to change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, though, isn't it fascinating? God is so wise, he could see the future, he's omniscient, and he says, beware of them which say they are Jews, but are not.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Interesting.
You know, never is that discussed.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
One time, there's a ministry in South Carolina, and they're called Friends of Israel, and they cater to Israel. The Jews can do no wrong. They shoot an Israeli, a Palestinian woman in the back. I'm sure she deserved it. You know, whatever happened, the Jews could do no wrong. Mm-hmm. And I asked this man, the leader of this ministry, actually he's Australian originally, but now he lives in America. His name is Arno Frosa. I said to him, explain this verse to me. What do you think? And he said, you know, I think that verse should never be discussed. Mm-hmm. I said, why? He said, because there's no way to understand it. I said, so God put a verse in the Bible that he wants us to never read. Yet it says in the book of Revelation, whoever reads and keeps this book of prophecy, I, the Lord, will give a special blessing to. He looked at me and he said, you know, this verse could be used for anti-Semitism. I said, well, why don't you use it for Jesus Christ and explain the meaning of it? He said, Tex, I think we're into subjects here that we should not even discuss. This really could be problems for us. I said, for who? He said, well, you know, my ministry gets a lot of money. He said, I'll tell you, people, and listen to this, I'm telling you the truth. He said, this is one thing you need to learn, Tex. If you support the Jews, people will just give you bucket loads of money for your ministry. I looked at him, and we were at dinner together, and I'll never forget this.
What the?
And this was at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the prophecy conference. He said, if you have a project to help the Jews, people will give you so much money you won't believe it. He said, that's where I get all my money. Talking about money. He switched the money on me. And I said to him, why do they give you money if you support the Jews? He said, well, you know where it says in the book of Genesis, God said to Abraham, whoever blesses you, I will bless, and whoever curses you, I will send a cursing to. He said, so all Christians believe that if you help the Jews because they're the seed of Abraham, you'll get blessed. He says, Christians believe they'll be prosperous if they give to the Jews or to Jewish causes. He said, that's a lesson you need to learn, Tex. I said, you know, the lesson that I have learned, Arno, I've learned we should tell the truth.
Amen. I'm going to give a big amen on that one. I don't say that very often in this program, but amen.
There you go.
And you know, he looked at me, and, you know, he really got very angry at me. And he said, well, I'm not going against God. I'm just doing what God says. But
God
what Arno, another verse that he leaves out is Galatians 3, verse 29. Galatians 3, 28 says, as far as God is concerned, there's no Greeks, there's no Jews. In other words, there's no Gentile or Jew. There's either people who believe in Jesus, and there's people who don't. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the two kinds of people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so God saves by faith and not by race.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say there in Galatians 3, 29, it says, and if ye be Christ, those that you belong to Jesus, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises given Abraham. What promise did he have? He would possess all the land. What promise did he have? God would bless all the nations of the world through Abraham. How many nations? All the nations of the world are blessed through Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who has Christ is spiritually of Abraham's seed. And they're heirs of the promise. Now, do the Jews of Israel have Christ? No, they hate Jesus. They despise him. Their Talmud calls him a bastard and Mary a whore. That's their holy book, the Talmud. Their holy book says Jesus is this horrible word. Are they of Christ? Well, no. Can they be Abraham's seed? Only if only if Jesus lied, and the Apostle Paul lied, and Galatians 3:29 is a fraud. But by the way, I was raised not too well. I mean, just periodically we would go to church. It was sort of like an Assembly of God or Pentecostal church. Then when I was 16, I started going to a Southern Baptist church where I was saved and came to know the Lord. And, you know, and I'm 63 years old almost. I cannot remember one pastor nor one Sunday school lesson that ever talked about Galatians 3, 28-29. Mm-hmm. Or Revelation 2 and 3. Never. Mm-hmm. I guess the Southern Baptist people just leave it out. It's like the missing verse, the mysterious missing verses.
Yeah.
But they're willing.
But there's a lot of them.
Yeah. There's quite a few of those missing
to keep
verses.
Quoting from Genesis, where God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you and your descendants. And I'm going to give a blessing to whoever blesses you. Well, yes, he did. So you know what that means? Who are Abraham's descendants? It's a spiritual descendancy. It's those who believe in Jesus or Christians. And does God bless them? You better believe he does. It could be with money. It could be with love in their hearts. You know, and I know they're going to be blessed with eternal kingdom in heaven, with an eternal home with Jesus.
It could be wisdom.
What a blessing that is. There is the blessing. That's the inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Abraham wanted. Abraham didn't want some city here in this world. He looked toward a heavenly kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the Christians now are Judaizers practically, 90% of the evangelicals. They're all trying to promote an earthly kingdom of the Jews, which is what Jesus said he didn't come for.
Well,
nobody sees the irony. Nobody sees the irony of Jesus saying, my kingdom is not of this world. When the Jerry Falwells, the Pat Robertsons, mm-hmm. the James Dobsons are all saying, let us help the Jews establish their kingdom. But Jesus said, this is not my kingdom. They're trying to help Satan set up his kingdom.
Well, what they're saying is Jesus' kingdom doesn't pay very much, so they want to set up their own.
Well, that's true. Yes, and you know, Jesus.
Go where the money is, man.
He said, your house is left unto you
desolate.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You know, in the when you get married in a traditional wedding, the verse comes out, you know, that which God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Well, let's reverse that a little bit here. In the case of Israel, God put it asunder. He broke up Israel. He said, not one stone will be left on another. And he dispersed the Jews throughout the world. He said these things would happen. Jesus prophesied. And sure enough, in 70 AD, the Roman general Titus, who later became Caesar, came in and destroyed Jerusalem, killed hundreds of thousands of Jews, took the others captive slaves, burned the city, took everything of value, and he told the soldiers, go to the temple and tear down every stone, one upon another. Just like Jesus said, it happened in 70 AD. Now, along comes evangelical so-called Christians and said, what God has put asunder, let us join back together. It's equivalent to, you know, God confounded the builders at the Tower of Babel in Babylon.
Yeah.
But along comes the devil and his followers and said, what God has put asunder, the Tower of Babel, let's put it back together. Let's build a new world order. It was going to be one world, and we would be like gods with his tower reaching into heavens. Let's rebuild it. What God has torn down, we will rebuild. And I believe somehow with some satanic energy force, and that's what it is, this entire Judaizer church of today has bought into the lie that what God tore down, and what when he said, your house is left unto you desolate, they said, no, Jesus, we will undo what you did. You tore it down, we will build it back up. And that's what happened in 1948 when the 33rd degree Freemason, joining hands with Stalin, another Freemason over in the Kremlin, Joseph Stalin, joined hands in the United Nations. They weren't foes. They joined hands and created the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to our newsmaker line is, of course, Tex Mars. Tex, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Dan.
All right, and we have my wife here, Jamie, in the studio with us. We're going to join together with our guests right now, Tex. We've had numbers of questions, and we want to start you off in the second hour, and you were getting right to where people are waiting for, and that is the conspiracy and the Illuminati, the masonry type of things going on. But we have this question here. Could you elaborate on the concept that the Two Towers incident was a massive blood sacrifice to Satan in order to guarantee victory in the Masonic quest of Earth?
Oh, absolutely. I'm convinced that's exactly what it was. And by the way, I've done two audio tape CDs on this and detail it out exactly. But in Freemasonry, they have two pillars, Jachin and Boaz, these pillars. But the pillars are in ruins. From the ruins, however, will come up the new temple will be built, and that temple is basically the entire universe, and the universe will be rehabilitated. All of this, of course, comes from the Jewish Kabbalah, which teaches the concept of tikkun, that first the world must be utterly destroyed, and from the ashes, from the embers, will come up the great, like a phoenix bird. The phoenix is, of course, their symbol. It's the symbol of Lucifer. He was cast down into hell, into the flames. But he will rise up from the flames and establish his world kingdom. This is the boast of Satan, of course. You can read about that, Isaiah 14:12. Five times he makes positive affirmations. So when you have the lady on to talk about the secret, remind her that Isaiah 14:12, Lucifer or Satan made five positive confessions, five positive affirmations. He was a positive thinker. He beat Norman Vincent Peale and Dale Carnegie and all and Robert Shuler all to bits with his positive thinking. But Isaiah says to him at the end of Isaiah there, your destiny is not what you think, it is the pit of hell. And so that's his destiny, no matter what positive confessions or positive thinking he had. But let's get back to these two pillars now, Jachin and Boaz. These are the pillars. The temple has been destroyed. So you see, Jesus came along and destroyed the temple of Herod. They're going to rebuild it. It's a symbolical temple, although they will build one as a representation of it on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, because they expect to rule the world. That's the Freemasons. We're talking about the secret societies and especially the Synagogue of Satan element within them. And this is the meaning of the World Trade Centers, towers. They represented Jachin and Boaz in the Masonic mythologies. They were destroyed. They were brought down to the ground. But under the process of tikkun, they will rise up from the ashes. Now, it's very interesting. I was reading an article, and you can go to the Internet on this, that Rudy Giuliani, his mayor, set up a mayoral commission to decide what will be done to rehabilitate New York and how the what use will be made of the land. And they had architects, you know, bring in proposed submissions as to what should go on the land. And they call this, listen to this now, Operation Phoenix.
Huh.
The restoration.
What's the odds of that?
Well, Operation Phoenix comes out of the flames,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Yeah.
And by the way, in my book, Millennium, I show that they want to give us, they want to take away our dollar bill and set up the North American Union, give us the Amaro. In Europe, they've got the Euro. Now, eventually, they're going to come together. They hope by 2015, and all the world will have one currency. It will be called, guess what? The Phoenix.
Nah.
In fact, in my newest newsletter, I talk about this. And it's in my on my website. I have a picture from the Economist, the London Economist newspaper, published in Washington and New York, and as well as in London. And right there on the front cover is the Economist is a picture of a phoenix bird, and it says, "Get ready for the coming world currency." This is what this is like Forbes or Barron's or
yeah.
the Wall Street
get,
Journal. This is the most
get
respected
ready, nothing.
Financial journals of the world. Get ready for the new world currency. But that's the truth about the World Trade Center towers. They had it insured. A Jewish member of what I believe is the synagogue of Satan,
what?
Mr. Silverstein, was paid billions for this calamity from the insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. Quite an investment.
And they brought down those buildings with internal bombs planted, an implosion. And all of it was done in a Masonic-like ceremony. And this is the reason for this. Remember, these were the towers that represented the whole world's financial system.
Yeah.
These two, world trade. Mm-hmm. The trade. Revelation 18 is very explanatory. It says that mystery, Babylon the Great, is this great trading colossus. Mm-hmm. And the free trade will be all across the world, ships carrying all kinds of goods back and forth. Yes, there will be free trading. Mystery Babylon the Great. It even lists all the products. Everything from perfume to wood to precious gems will be traded back and forth by Mystery Babylon. And then it says they will even trade in the souls of men.
Whoa.
Well, you know, we have today, what do we have? The sex trade. Takes away the souls of the little boys and girls and the women that are traded like they're they're nothing but meat objects. They're trading even the very souls of men by sending pornographic movies all around the world. And anybody can tell you that the Northridge area of Los Angeles is the greatest producer of pornographic movies in the world, and it's all run by Jews. All of it is run by Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recently the DEA came out and admitted that Jewish syndicates were running the entire ecstasy drug market. So all of these things, we know Las Vegas, all of these areas, the Jewish mafia, you know, Mr. Mayer, you know, we read all about the Sicilian mafia. Hey, those guys are pikers. It's the Jewish mafia.
Yeah. Tex, let me get in here. I've asked this question on the program once before. And if you ever read the credits on some of these sitcoms, particularly the egregiously sexual ones where it's just one sexual innuendo after another, and you read the credits, all of a sudden it's just a litany of Jewish names. You said Silverstein, of course, you know, they're every kind of Steen imaginable is in the credits. Is that the type of degenerate leaning that the television networks and owners and producers are trying to digress the American moral fabric to break us down?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I don't, you know, some people say that. I don't think it's necessarily a plot to break us down. I believe this is what the synagogue of Satan loves. I mean, they like to watch TV. They like to see movies. They want to see smut. They want to see sinister sexual content. They are giving us their culture. This is their culture. This is why Israel today, go there. It's not the Holy Land. They've got the sex trade. They've got drugs. They've got murders. Not a week goes by in Tel Aviv that they're not dead men found in fields and all around the city in its outskirts, people that have been shot in the head by drug kingpins and such. You see, we don't know about these things, but it's a horror in Israel. People are now leaving Israel saying, this place is the cesspool of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, Jerusalem Report magazine had a big story about Jews and gambling, and it said, why are Jews so addicted to gambling? I'll tell you why. they have a holy book called the Talmud that tells them they are gods on earth. And everyone else, all the Gentiles, are like cattle and insects. When you get this sick belief, then you begin to believe that anything you do in the flesh is okay.
Hey, Tex, it sounds like it might be the ancestors of the Nephilims.
Well, you know, a lot of people, yeah, well, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, mm-hmm. so it shall be when the Son of Man returns. So the days of the mm-hmm. Nephilim are back.
Yeah.
And of course, even the devils had some kind of a carnal relations mm-hmm. with women that they mm-hmm. chose.
Well, yeah, didn't it say that the sons of God chose women as they would and did whatever they wanted to with them? I mean, that's pretty much the way it is right now.
Yeah, the sons of God, of course, are those that were created by God. And they were called the great men, the mighty men, men of renown. You see, they're in Genesis chapter 6. So this is where the myths of the Greek gods, Hercules, Apollo, and all the others came about. They were men of great strength and magic, supernaturalism. Yeah, I believe this is exactly what we have. And by the way, I can show you New Age occult magazines that are recommending to women to buy sex tapes, dream tapes, and imagine a spirit, a lover's coming into their body and having sex with them while they're sleeping. And they're saying, play these dream sex tapes. And this, you know, melodic New Age music comes on, and supposedly you vision. And they believe that what they create with their minds becomes real. Thought forms take shape and actually have carnal relations. You know, this may sound sick to us, and it is. And you know, but these people believe in magic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wrote a whole book called Codex Magica. They believe in magic. We think it's stupid, and I believe to a certain extent it is. But nevertheless, when you believe in something, you act on it. Mm-hmm. You talk about religious diseases. I believe Judaism is a religious disease. Why did Jesus tell them, you are of your father the devil? The Pharisees believed in the Babylonian Talmud. That's what the Orthodox Jews have today.
Mm. Yeah.
And it hasn't changed in these 2,000 years.
Tex, let me get in here because that segues right into this question from one of our esteemed listeners. And here it is. As such, are you aware of the Satanic Babylonian Talmud that it says in the Sanhedrin 55b that it is okay to have sex with a three-year-old as long as it is 3 year-olds and one day? Have you ever read that in the Sanhedrin 55b?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
What kind of holy book is that supposed to be?
Well, you see, Jesus said something to the Jews. He said to them that they had brought in, you know, if they had just believed in the Old Testament, wonderful, everything would have been okay. But what they brought in, he said, you brought in your man-made traditions, and those traditions have made the Word of God null and void. They voided the Word of God, because the Word of God obviously tells you, you know, you're not to do something horrible like defile a three-year-old little girl. But along comes the rabbis and say, wait just a minute. Her hymen will grow back. She's only three. And by the way, you can also have sex with a boy up to the age of 9. That's why pedophilia is so common among Jews. It also says that on your 10th wedding anniversary, you may have sex with another woman. In fact, they had on HBO, the show produced by Larry David called Curb Your Enthusiasm. He had a whole series of shows talking about that, and his wife agreed. He's Jewish on the show, and she agreed, okay, you can have sex with another woman. He went out and found a woman. They went to this hotel room together. And then he had to get a sheet and cut a hole in it, because you have to lay a sheet with a hole in it on top of the naked woman so you can't see her body while you're having sex. That whole thing is stupid and silly, but they also have 613 laws. And here it's sort of, you know, Colin Powell, in his book, his autobiography, says as a young man in the Bronx, New York, you know, he was hired by the Jewish rabbis because he would have to go and turn on the lights and everything. Because on the Sabbath, they couldn't turn on lights. Now wait, why don't they just stay in the dark? They want the lights on, so they hire a Gentile to come and turn on the lights, because they can't do any work, which pushing the light switch would be doing work. So they have to hire a black boy from the Bronx to come in and turn on the lights. Well, isn't that the same thing? No, it's okay if you do it by the agency of another. Let me give you another example. If you kill a Gentile, you can take his property, but you've got to have another Gentile to go and get it and give it to you. Because if you took it directly, that would be wrong. But you can have another Gentile take his property and give it to you. That would be okay. For which you have to give him a small commission.
Okay.
So,
wow.
So there's all kinds of ways to get around the law. By the way, there's another one called the Kol Nidre vow. Every year, the Jews and their synagogue, the Orthodox, take a vow. And in this vow, they say, "Oh God, may all of the vows that I make this year to Gentiles be forgiven me when I don't keep them." That's basically the meaning of the Kol Nidre. So if a Jewish businessman then says, "Sure, I'll go into business, I'll give you 50%. And he cheats you. That's okay. He made a vow to you, but he's already asked God in the prayer of the Kol Nidre in the synagogue. He's been forgiven in advance for all the lies he tells, the vows that he makes that he doesn't keep, as long as those are to a Gentile. Here's another one. Another law that they must obey from the Jewish Talmud, which, by the way, Jesus knew came right from Babylon. It was the Jews spent 70 years captivity during the days of Jeremiah. You remember those in Daniel. Babylon. And there they brought in the Babylon Talmud. And it became part of their teaching system. So they linked and mixed the things of God. These are the commandments of men Jesus told them about, you see.
Yeah.
So much so that, you know, the Samaritan, who they considered inferior to their race, you know, he was there in the ditch hurt, but they wouldn't even help him. Because they didn't want to dirty themselves.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, especially, I guess, if it was the Sabbath day, it would be work. So these are the kinds of things we have.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to kill
Jewish religion.
Yeah, if you're going to kill somebody, make sure it's not on a Sabbath day. Hey, I've got this question that come in for you, Tex. Do you think the Catholic Inquisition has ever ended?
Well, sure, it ended in its entirety. I mean, we don't know of any stories necessarily. Although the Jesuits and others did many atrocities in South America, Paraguay, in other places, and through liberation theology, which was brought by the Jesuits and the Dominicans and the Marian Old Fathers down in Central and South America. They brought the pain and murder, even in our century.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I wouldn't call that the Inquisition. No, so you know, the days of Torquemada and everything, of course, are over. Yeah, that's over.
Okay.
But I guess if you want to ask the question, will it be reinstituted? That's a possibility, but remember this. Even the Catholic Church, as well as the Protestant Evangelical Church, they're all folded in together. There's no such thing as the Protestant Evangelical Church. They don't call themselves Protestant. They have joined hands with the Catholic Church. Dobson, Robertson, even Falwell was on the same stage and platform with the Pope. Billy Graham called Pope John Paul II the world's greatest evangelist. Of course, he called Bill Clinton that too, but that's, you know, I don't know how much credence you can give Billy Graham on that.
Yeah.
But here's my point. In the new Catholic Catechism, what year was that? 1987, I believe. The new Catholic Catechism, Pope John Paul promulgated that, but guess who was the spearhead of that? It was the present Pope. He put together a new Catholic Catechism. Since the days of 1920s, they had the Baltimore Catechism. Most of the people who were in their 40s and 50s, when they studied the catechism at Catholic church schools, the CCD doctrine, they study the old Baltimore Catechism. But Pope John Paul II and the current Pope, when he was the head of the propagation of the faith, there, you know, as Cardinal Ratzinger was his name then, they put together the new Catholic Catechism, and one of its tenets, and I have a copy of it on my bookshelf, I read it very carefully, cover to cover, it says that the Jews do not need Jesus. They have their own covenant. And not only that, but they are our elder brothers. So the Jews don't need Jesus. They can keep their Talmud. And so the Catholic Church has gone and has become Judaized. It might be then, following the book of Revelation, the Catholic Pope could become the false prophet of Revelation. There's even a strong possibility that maybe the next pope could be Jewish.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we have this question here for you, Tex Mars. Do you think the USA has fallen so far that they can never return to the grace of Yahweh God?
Well, that's up to God. You know, the Bible says very clearly that God judges nations as well as people. And, you know, I guess in the terms of looking at an individual, there, you know, some of the worst people have become new men through Jesus. And so can we say with certainty, I think it would not be giving God glory to say, oh no, it's gone too far. I believe, of course it can be redeemed. But what has to take place is so tremendous. But remember, you know, Nineveh is a great example. There they were worshiping false gods, probably doing terrible things. Up comes Jonah, who didn't even like the Ninevite people, who really hoped they would be destroyed. You know, he was prejudiced. But God sent him there and said, I'm going to make you preach to these people. Even caused a huge fish to swallow him up and belch him out on their shores. So, you know, somebody out there may be made an evangelist like that today that didn't want to be one. Maybe Daniel, you and Jeannie didn't necessarily want to get into this teaching of truth, but yeah. God made you. I don't know. Y'all probably have a testimony of your own. Strong. But I do know this. What happened was Jonah preached to them and said, if you don't repent, you're all going to be destroyed.
Yep.
And to his amazement, I'm sure, they all repented. Now, I suppose God is going to have to send a Jonah to American shores. Maybe it's some guy from Russia or Germany or Japan. I don't know, but maybe it'll be a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be an American.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's certainly possible. I give God glory and say, if he wants to do it, he can. But I'll tell you one thing. If God doesn't choose that, then man, this nation is really going to have a hard time of it.
If I got to go back to our newsmaker line, Tex Mars, are you with us?
Hey, I'm with you. I was listening to you guys. You guys are pretty interesting. I'm going to start tuning in regularly to The Edge, because a lot of people have written me and said, hey, Tex, check out The Edge, you know, your website.
Yeah.
And I've gone on the web, and y'all do a great job of getting the message out. So, and you know, I find all of these things of interest too. One of the most fascinating books I ever read, and you probably read the same book, was Prodigal Genius, about Nikola Tesla.
Oh yeah,
by O'Neill, and all of these things. And a lot of people may laugh at these, but you know, it's a proven fact that the Russians, even using electromagnetic waves. Of course, they force people to be human subjects, regrettably.
Yeah.
But cause what would be termed religious experiences, mental images to come in their brains.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, now, you know, they're getting to the point, the University of Michigan, the Research Center, and others, where they can basically, in a sense, read our brains. Of course, Big Brother is getting more and more innovative, isn't he?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
So a lot of these things are true and are being researched today.
Okay. All right, Tex, well, let's go back to our questions we have waiting for you. We have this one from the UK. Tex, knowing that the world bankers are an intrinsic intrinsic part of the New World Order. What is your take on the UK's, Tony Blair, of course, securing a top job at the World Bank?
Well, you know, he's not a banker, but since the World Banker, whether it was Wolfowitz or the guy before him, Wolfenson, and by the way, Wolfenson was in New York City and London, and he had a what they call a investment or bank called a boutique. Believe it or not, they call these boutique. He put in $18 billion with Rothschild, Lord Rothschild, mm-hmm. and they set up a banking boutique in New York and London. Wolfenson did. Then he became head of the World Bank. Now we have Wolfowitz. But now that he's been disgraced by, you know, taking his mistress and giving her a fat cat job. And so
oh,
forth.
Boy. There you go.
Wolfowitz, who used to be sort of the overseer, making sure that we did the neocon Jews bidding and sending our troops to be killed in Iraq. Now, Wolfowitz was made by Bush, head of the World Bank. He's mm-hmm. leaving. Blair would not know the first thing about banking, but since you're just a stooge and you take orders, they have the accountants to take care of things.
Yeah.
So they probably want somebody of a world stature, so-called, who will do whatever they tell him to do and jump like a little frog. So, Blair is a spiritually mixed up person
yeah.
who claims to be a Christian, but he and his wife went to, up to Peru to the top of the mountain and got in contact with the spirits by diving in the pool the way Shirley MacLaine did.
Really?
His wife is a real kook. And, so anyway, there's Blair, and I understand that, he's thinking of joining the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But again, this is just another stratagem. They're planning to bring all of the faiths together in one big pile. So, this is, by the way, a Council on Foreign Relations project. Here's a little one for your audience that they probably haven't heard. The Council on Foreign Relations, which is 73% Jewish, by the way, and run by a man named Richard Haass, who is Jewish, and has always been run by very rich Jews, was founded by E. Mandel House, a Jew, and a member of the Illuminati, and a member of the Wilson administration. But the Council on Foreign Relations has set up a religious roundtable. Its goal is to bring all the world's religions together. And guess who the leader of it is?
Satan.
Henry Kissinger.
Whoa.
go to your, if you don't believe me, go to the internet and put in CFR religious roundtable Henry Kissinger. It'll come up. That's their newest project.
Yeah.
Now, to make sure that all the Christians get on board, they not only have the top Catholic officials as members of this religious roundtable, and they brought them in and actually initiated them. They're members of the CFR, but also they brought in the top poobah of the Southern Baptist Convention now, Dr. Richard Land. And that's not all. They brought in Rick Warren, who they call America's pastor, the guy who gave us, the promise-driven life and church,
mm-hmm.
which the big boys made into a bestseller because they wanted him to become famous.
Huh.
So Rick Warren is a member of the CFR. It's not just politics anymore. Now, at the same time, they also brought in La Raza, the head of La Raza, this racist Mexican organization. They brought the leader of that and its other leaders into the membership of the CFR. Then they went and got the Mexican-American Legal Defense Fund, MALDEF. This, I believe, in my opinion, is a communist a legal organization, and brought in the leader of MALDEF, which is the Mexican Legal Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought hit the leader of that in to the CFR.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they got the racial thing, the Mexicans, but they brought them into the CFR to bring in. La Raza, of course, helped Ted Kennedy create his immigration bill. They worked hand-in-hand with Ted Kennedy and with Senator John Kyle, or I call it Kiel, of Arizona, or wherever it's at there, on the Republican side, and which just thrilled George Bush completely, but La Raza, a racist organization, would work with Ted Kennedy to give us the new immigration amnesty.
Well, hopefully.
So you see how all of these things work together?
Yeah.
The synagogue of Satan, working with Judaizer apostate Christians, in the Council on Foreign Relations, and they bring everything together. But back to the World Bank, the World Bank, of course, is just, you know, will do whatever the Illuminati says. Tony Blair, it doesn't matter. Maybe Bill Clinton should get that job. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, they certainly don't want to forget the North American Man-Boy Love Association. I mean, they've, you know, they got to have variety there.
You know, well, they'll probably get a big loan now.
Yeah.
Because Tony Blair is highly reputed to be bisexual.
Yeah.
So maybe NAMBLA will get a big loan from the World Bank.
There you go. All right, we have this question for you, Tex. Do you have any information on the crucifix that the Pope holds during public appearances? People say that it looks like a bent cross with a year of 666 on it. Have you seen that?
I've never seen the 666, but the cross, it's, you know, it's sort of curved. It's it makes Jesus. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I think Jesus dying on the cross was a fantastic thing. But the biggest miracle was him leaving the cross. And so I never look at those crucifixes that have Jesus on them, because to me, although absolutely that must be preached, it is true. And he did go to the cross for us. And no one can imagine such love that he laid down his life for us, his friends. But the greatest miracle, I think, and the thing that we should signify, is the empty cross. But a lot of people have written to me, and they believe that that is a sign of evil, because it looks like a pitiful, broken-down, beaten Jesus on a wooden cross that looks just pathetic. But, I look at it, I'm not quite sure of that. I've seen Pope John Paul at Catholic celebrations where they had the cross on the wall behind him that was upside down.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
a sign of Satanism.
I was going to say this.
That disturbs me a lot more than the cross that he carries around.
Yeah, that seems a bit irreverent for the religious leader of the world, so-called world. Hey, we have this question in for you. Tex, what do you think about the upcoming 2008 elections? And then they want to know something. What's your view of what's going on in Iran?
First of all, Hillary Clinton will be president of the United States. I wrote the book within 6 months after Bill Clinton took office in 1991. I said Hillary Clinton wants to be president, and she will be president. She has Jay Rockefeller, the Rockefellers behind her. She has the Rothschilds. She will be president. Obama is just a distraction. He'll fall by the wayside. They must have opposition. In the Hegelian dialectic, you must have opposition. She will overcome the opposition and thus look stronger and more electable. John McCain and Rudy Giuliani are jokes. Christian evangelicals are pretty dumbed down. Nevertheless, Rudy Giuliani is a transvestite. All those pictures of him dressing in women's drag clothing. I've got four different pictures of him wearing women's clothing.
Really? Well, he's just sick,
and
period.
For Christmas, for Christmas, if you want to send him a Christmas gift, send him a dress or a skirt.
Oh.
He'll like that more than anything.
And, or a tutu.
He lived for 3 years. He shacked up with a homosexual man in New York City.
Really?
When it came out, he said, well, yes, I've lived with this man, but I slept on the couch.
Oh, yeah,
so
sure.
So that was when he was married. So you know why his poor old wife, divorced him.
Yeah.
After all, he's shacking up with his homosexual lover.
Yeah.
He's a bisexual, too, and he married this woman because he wanted to be president someday, and
gotta
have a woman to make it look good.
Yeah, didn't that New Jersey governor do that? What governor just did that? Came out and
McGreevy.
What kind of sicko pervert that dude is,
man? Yeah, McGreevy. There again, we have the synagogue of Satan. An Israeli Mossad agent got to him, began having sex with him. He got the Israeli agent. He made him the Homeland Security Director of New Jersey, so he could have access to all the U.S. Secret documents. So here's the Israeli Mossad sending one of their agents to have a homosexual love affair with the governor of New Jersey. How does that sound to your audience?
Well, I don't know, but it sounds like he's in charge of the homo security. Wait a minute. Can I say that, Jamie? Can I say that?
I think you just did.
Oh, okay. Well, bleep that from the archive.
Here again, I think all homosexuals should be out of the closet.
Yeah.
Now because here's the reason why.
Yeah.
Because that's the honest thing to do.
Yeah, but it is, really.
Now, I'm opposed to homosexuality from a Christian vantage point, but I'll tell you, I'm opposed even more to hypocrisy. The Tony Blairs, the Rudy Giuliani's who are bisexual, All of these people need to just come out of the closet. Hey, I'm a gay. You don't like it? All right.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to, of course. Christian evangelicals are not going to vote if they know this.
Yeah.
John McCain, he's not going to be elected president of the United States.
Yeah, he's kind of boring, though, really. What about
that? For a number of reasons.
Is it going to be, you think it's going to be Hillary as the president and Hussein Obama as the vice president?
Oh, no, no, no. She does not want any glory to go. She'll get a unknown vice president.
Really? Somebody who will submit?
Because Barack Obama does have a fan base. He has the blacks. They'll all go to him.
Yeah.
So that would create a diversion for her. She'll put a sort of a nobody type person.
Yeah, she needs somebody that's very submissive, I would suspect.
Yeah, she needs somebody that's sort of vanilla, you know, plain vanilla.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they always do.
Yeah, well, I think Hillary's been upset ever since she broke up with that woman was running security down in Florida. Who am I thinking of? Back in the Waco days, who's running that show?
Oh, Janet Reno.
Yeah. Ever since she broke up with Janet Reno, she'd been in kind of the dumps. Hey man, I got this.
You could be absolutely right.
Yeah, well, you know. Hey, got this question here for you. Tex, of course, you have and it says preface that you know a lot about symbolism, and they want to know: what is the symbolism of the color red? Of course, you have the obvious ones: blood, Satan, and different things. Why is red, and why does it have a significance in symbolism?
Well, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the great red dragon. Red is always, since the pagan days, all the way back to mystery Babylon, to Babylon, actually physical Babylon, the red is that a color of prostitution, of harlotry, of whorism.
True.
It's got a very seedy history. And even today, you know, if you go to Amsterdam or other bad cities, they talk about the red light district, you know.
Yeah.
So this has a very bad connotation, but it has also a connotation, as you mentioned, of blood, of death, the color red. I remember I visited Thailand. I lived there 2 years in the Air Force. And one time I didn't have a pen, but I had a red pen, and I wrote a note to a Thai friend of mine. Boy, he wrote me back, please text, I love you, but don't ever write red again. You know, it's a cultural thing over in Thailand. You don't use red ink.
Well, yeah, in the movie The Village, red was the bad color.
Yeah, red is the bad color. Red is evil. And by the way, I think satanic people know this. That's why the communists adopted the color red. They had the red star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you got China. Red China, right?
Yeah, red China. When we talk about the great purges and murders of Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin, they're called the Red Terror. The Illuminati adopted the color red. Colors have great significance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know this even psychologically. Colors affect your mood.
Mm-hmm.
So now hospitals try to use colors, you know, that are not excitable. They don't use yellows and such. They try to use, you know, light blues or light white.
Yeah.
You know? And if you want to get somebody really excitable, make things pink and red.
Ooh. Okay.
You know.
All right. Let's go. All right.
So that's sort of the reason for red. But the great red dragon, who is Satan, is in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go on to another question here. Tex, do you know anything about monatomic gold and or the bread of the presence showbread eaten by the Israelite priests? Monatomic gold. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't heard about the gold.
Okay.
But no, I don't know anything about that. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. That you're not required to know everything about it. All right, we have this question here. Oh, by the way, my esteemed wife here is looking at a book. Have you ever read the book Too Long in the Sun?
Yes, I have.
What do you think about that?
What I think about it, it's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting because you know, it gets into the cosmology, the ancient sun, worship of the sun god and all that. If I can remember, if that's the book I read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We have this, I don't know if it's a question or a statement, but the word Palestine, this writer says, has no meaning in Arabic. What does Palestine mean? Is there any significance to that? What is Palestine? What's the root of that?
I don't know. You have great callers. I wish that they would write me and tell me. Of course, I'm sure I can go to a Bible dictionary and find the meaning of Palestine. But, you know, that's even in the Bible, though. Mm-hmm. It talks about Palestina.
Yeah.
And the some people probably would say it comes from the Philistines, mm-hmm. the Palestine.
Okay.
Would probably come from the word the Philistines.
All right.
Who, you know, were the ones that, you know, the people of God fought.
Oh,
all
right.
That's very possible.
Sure. Okay. And then we have this question here, and I'm just trying to go rapid fire through them so we can get through most of them. Do you know who really runs the Skull and Bones? Who's at the top of that organization?
Believe it or not, this came from the Jewish Illuminati in Germany. Mr. Russell, William Russell, who founded the Skull and Bones way back in, I think, 1832, had visited Germany. And at that time, they had a number of German Illuminati sects that were Jewish. And later on, you know, Hitler himself became a member of a group called the Vril Society, a secret society. And Freemasonry was very, very big, and it was run by Illuminati Jews in Germany at the time. And that's why Hitler tried to stamp out Freemasonry, believing, quite correctly, that it was Jews that ran the show there. And so Jewish Illuminati founded the Order of Skull and Bones. Interestingly enough, for many years, though, of course, because Yale was basically a Gentile Christian university that was founded by Christians,
mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, and some of the early leaders of presidents were indeed very strong Christians. One of them was a big opponent right after Yale was founded of the Illuminati. You can go back and actually read his statements, speeches he gave against the Illuminati. But nevertheless, in 1832, Russell went to Germany, and he came back and founded it. It was a clandestine, they call it a black lodge of Freemasonry. So that's the basis of it, and I believe today you're going to find very, very powerful Jewish influences from Europe that are behind, and it probably can be traced today because of World War II, can be traced to the Grand Orient Lodge of France. That's my belief.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we have this question here to you, Tex. They say, the writer says, David Icke, Jordan Maxwell, and Michael Tsarian all give good information, such as you, except for the fact they don't claim that Jesus is the Messiah. Are they false teachers to lead us astray?
Well, a false teacher, that term would be a teacher who claims to be Christian, but is not. That would be a false teacher. These people are just not Christians. They basically, mm-hmm. they're just not Christians.
Yeah.
And they believe in mythologies, and so, you know, and all three of these people, have some very interesting information. But in their conclusions, they accept the mythologies, that are spread about, and reject the evidence of Jesus, all the witnesses. You know, I think a good book that people can get is a book by Josh McDowell called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. So, you can go back to the writings of the Jewish historian Josephus, who lived contemporaneously with Jesus, and he talked about how does Jesus came and had so many followers, and the Romans put him to death at the behest of the Jews and the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And Josephus, the great, still known today since antiquity, is one of the greatest Jewish scholars, says Jesus was known as the Christ. So the existence of Jesus, all of these things are true. So again, I don't call them false teachers. I just say that mm-hmm. they teach things that, of course, are not true. But you know, what are we to expect from people who are not Christians? Who we get into the scientific realm. We have Hawkins and the others who are basically atheists teaching evolution, who don't believe in God. So I put them in that category. Yeah. But I would say pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the false teachers are those who claim to be Christians but then lead you astray.
Yeah.
These are apostate Christians.
Yeah. Well, Tex, let me ask you something. Is it possible to glean a nugget of truth from the people so as you describe and not be led astray? I mean, is it possible to gather a piece of truth that as the whole, a piece of the whole truth, could it not work?
Well, you know, I've written books that quoted the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and I think those are purveyors of lies. But I quote them sometimes. Of course, many things, you know, even a broken clock is correct twice a day.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah, I think Sorian and yeah. Okay. Ike and who's the other, Maxwell Jordan.
Yeah.
I think a lot of things that they say are truthful. Jordan, for example, does a relatively good job, I believe, from what little I know about him, in looking at some of the pagan mythologies and symbols and things like that. So I give all of these people credit. And so you know, and I don't hate them or dislike them or anything. I appreciate the research they do, but they're not Christians. They don't come from a Christian perspective.
Okay.
Now, I understand that Ike at one time even believed that he was the Christ figure. At least that's what the British press said about him. You know, he was a very well-known, I believe he was a newscaster, sportscaster, sports guy on the everybody in Britain knew Ike, David Ike.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he went into this field, and they said at first that he claimed to be the Messiah. I don't know if that's true. How much can you trust the press?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things that are true, even in the L.A. Times and the New York Times, but don't believe everything. But to me, I believe people should read the Gospels, read many historical books. Listen to what they say. I don't mind. You know, this is the free marketplace of ideas. Here in Austin, Texas, somebody asked me, what do you think ought to be done about the big Buddhist temple they built down on a major highway? What do I think should be done to it? Hey, this is America. My faith is strong. They can preach Buddhist energy forces all they want to. It doesn't bother me. But, you know, I'm sort of sad for people that believe that. But on the other hand, I have the opportunity, for now, you know, with Big Brother coming, I don't know how long, guys, but I have the opportunity to preach the Christian truth. So none of these things disturb me. I mean, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he even find faith on planet Earth? He said, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. If the very elect almost can be deceived, well, I know a Sorian or a Ike or a Jordan could be deceived. So, yeah, I think they're interesting people.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Tex, anything else you'd like to say in this broadcast that we haven't discussed so far? Any topic relative?
Well, I'd like to say how much I appreciate you and Jeannie for having me on. And my goodness, to have some of the topics we've had, boy, you can't be too popular with the establishment and the powers that be. But I'll tell you what, I believe that people that love the truth and want to know will more and more turn to programs like yours. So I want to thank you for having me on. I do recommend, you know, you mentioned to people, let them know if they have a suggestion for a guest.
Yeah.
We have the phone number of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, who wrote The Synagogue of Satan. And, boy,
really?
I think he would do a great job on your show. So if you want to have him on, let me know.
Sure.
Because he knows more of the little details of this book.
Yeah.
And if you want a copy of the book, if you don't have it, please let me know. We'll send you a free courtesy copy.
Sure. Hey, no problem. This show is all about guest suggestions, and that's what makes it so varied in the topics. People want to know how we get this, how do we get our guest list, and really we just solicit people's ideas. Say, look, I heard this great person on this program, and you need to have one. And so, really, that's really, Tex, how I first got to talk to you. You were suggested to the program, so we'll take our suggestions even from the guests. So, yeah. So after the show, I'll email you, and we'll get together, and then you'll let me know who you know the email, whatever, and we'll have that person wrote that book on there, co-wrote it, and I appreciate you coming on the program. Now, can we have you back on the program again, Tex?
Oh, I would love to. Hey, one thing, I mentioned Meyer as the head of the Jewish Mafia. Actually, it was Meyer Lansky. I forgot his last name, Meyer Lansky.
So
I thought I'd bring that little tidbit. But yeah, I'd love to come on your program again. It's always just, you know, it's just fun to come on and be able to tell the truth. And I invite anybody, by the way, I have a website, powerofprophecy.com. If anybody thinks I'm not correct about something, hey, let me know, and I'll research it, and I'll make amends. But it's fun. It's fun to tell the truth, and I love to expose evildoers. I think it's just great fun. I maybe that makes me weird or something, but you know, there's just not enough people out there with the courage to do it, and that's why I appreciate Daniel and Jeannie. Thank you so much.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, Tex.
All right. All right.
Okay, and God bless each of you.
You bet.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to TheEdgeAM.com. That's TheEdgeAM.com, where you can find out more about the guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at ES4.com. That's ES4.com. Until next week, for the Edge Radio broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.
News on the USA Radio Network is next.